You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know one thing we just forgot walking in here? How do you think we're going to do for the first segment here for getting our water bottles? Are we going to be okay?
I think we're going
to make it?
Yeah, I think we'll be good.
That's a pretty important thing, I think, when you're hosting a radio show on the air, though.
For 3 hours,
especially
yeah,
when
imagine.
You're with somebody, you might need the opportunity to clear your throat a little bit.
Especially today, I feel.
Yes.
I'm getting.
It is. It's going to be it's hot and humid outside, and I feel like it's going to be fiery in here as well. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase on the One Bills Live time slot, 12 to 3 today. Two Bros Live, as we like to call it, when mm-hmm. we are hosting in this in the afternoon here. Nate Geary has been on this show for the last couple of days. Did you see Nate at Bobolinks yesterday with the match, as they were calling
yeah,
the Trainwreck?
He pulled it off in the ninth hole. So
we know that course very well.
Hitting off mats, though, he learned the hard way that it's not the same.
It's not.
Hitting off mats is very different than hitting off a tee.
You've almost hit off mats so much that I think when you hit off of tees, it's bad. Like, I feel like me, for instance, golfing so much like in my early life and basically drives going all over the place, you're in the rough more than you're in the fairway. So I've theorized that I and many amateur golfers are better out of the rough because there's just, you know, you get more practice
it's so
out
much,
of the rough.
It's so much easier, though. Like, when you're at a par 3 course like Bobolinks, you can just walk up. You don't have to put the tee in, worry about putting the ball on, and it falls down, and it's hot. You're already mad because you shot a triple bogey the hole before. You can just put the ball on the mat and hit it. I don't know. I like par 3 golf is where I live.
par 3 golf.
He pulled it off, though.
He was using wedges, like, on 140-yard holes. Like, that's impressive. Good
those,
job, Nate.
Those courses are tougher, though. When you're used to the bigger courses, it's an adjustment, because you're like, you know, when each hole is 130, 140, you're hitting over it every time.
So, as is tradition when me and you are in here, we generally have weird quarterback arguments, right? Like, whether
what was the last one? Minshew, Mariota?
Minshew versus Mariota, which I will say I think I've on that one.
I think I'm actually going to win that one still. I haven't given up on that.
I don't know. He's a backup. So
I think he's going to end up starting for the Raiders.
There have been other ones. Teddy Bridgewater is always a point of contention, and maybe he'll come up today.
Yeah.
Because another guy that we're going to talk about, he has replaced. And that's going to put me in a weird spot, because two of your favorite quarterbacks, one of your favorite quarterbacks in the league, and one of the guys you think is very underrated in the mm-hmm. league, has replaced another guy that you are very high on and that we are going to spend most of the day talking about. Cam Newton to the New England Patriots is the big story in the league this week, and it does have major implications on the Bills, and there's some news on him today that we will get into, and just him in general being in New England throughout the course of the day. We're going to have John Ellis from OnePantherPlace.com on to talk about what Newton is at this state in his career and what he was last we saw him, 2018. We're throwing 2019 for the most part out the window because of the injuries, at least when it comes to the on-field play. So John's going to join us at 1 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we're going to switch gears a little bit of fantasy with Mike Tagliere of Fantasy Pros. I got a couple of Bills-related fantasy questions for him. I wrote about Devin Singletary on our website last week at WGR550.com. I'm very, very low on Singletary as a fantasy option. I do love him as a running back, and I believe that he is still an impact player for the Bills, but don't love at all his prospects in fantasy this year. So I got some stuff like that on the Bills for Mike at 2 o'clock. Then Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus, at 2:30. He wrote on Josh Allen this past week, and I want to get his thoughts on Cam Newton from PFF's point of view. So all of that is on the table. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to join me and Lou here on today's show. And let's start with Newton. Did you see the news of the guaranteed money today? $550,000. Lou sleeps,
right,
by the way.
Yeah, so Lou, I work the overnight shift here.
Lou does the overnight on WBEN. And when he comes in to do this show,
right,
like, what'd you get, 4 or 5 hours?
5 hours.
5 hours of sleep. It's not bad. Yeah. He's going to be a nap later, probably. On the way. So Lou usually is sleeping through the morning when things like this happen. So no beef at all that you missed it.
See, I can get the times where Antonio Brown is nearly traded to the Bills at 2 a.m., yep. but then the times where news breaks at 9, tend to miss
Seeing it till the afternoon a lot of times. Right. Yeah. So Newton's deal with the New England Patriots is for a mere $550,000 guaranteed. It is the vet minimum contract that he is signing with New England. On top of that, though, he does have incentives. We knew beforehand it was heavily incentive laden.
Right, up to what, like $7.5 million?
$7.5 million is what he can get up to. Yeah. But essentially, New England, and maybe this plays into my conspiracy theory that Bill Belichick only signed Cam Newton to steer everybody away from the fact that they got caught cheating for a third time with him as head coach, by the way. And don't even think for a second that we're not spending time on that today. Because the New England Patriots got caught cheating for the third time.
Blatant this time.
Usually.
Like in the act.
Yeah, and usually it's three strikes, you're out. But this time it was three strikes and, we're just going to take the penalty down a little bit. Like,
yeah, the punishment was less than the first two.
So I don't think it's probable. I don't think it's even very likely that this is the case. But I want to believe Bill Belichick has it in him to sign Cam Newton and having no intention of starting him, but knowing that if he signed Cam Newton, nobody's going to be talking about him cheating.
If this was another team, like if this was Jacksonville, I would throw it out the window. But it's because Belichick, it is the Patriots,
evil genius.
And this actually did happen the same day of the news breaking that they were, they lost a third round pick in 2021. And the worst part, by the way, is they can recoup that in the compensatory pick formula if Cam signs elsewhere in 2021. So I think the timing was certainly there. Like, I think that was on purpose. I think they've known that they had Cam Newton in the bag for probably weeks. Who knows how long, honestly. I think the timing there was certainly calculated. However, even for the Patriots, I think to say that they made the move itself in a vacuum just to cover that up.
Well,
I mean, that part, maybe if they didn't get caught, but like, the cat's already out of the bag. The video's already there of them getting caught recording Cincinnati of all teams, which is hilarious, by the way. Yes, I'm with you that you should always be skeptical of that team, and they got caught up for a third time. However, I do think even with the money, Cam Newton is going in there, if healthy, and that's to me why the dollars are lined up the way they are. But if he is healthy, which is, yes, a giant if he is, though, I don't, like, I know you've been talking a lot about Jarrett Stidham and the odds and taking Stidham there with a chance to start week one. I don't think it's close to me. If Cam Newton is healthy, he is going to be the starter.
Well, and that's the big if, though, and that's why we have a bet actually in place on who is starting week one for the New England Patriots. Now, to be fair,
I think
probably,
that was more of an odds game for you, though, than an actual belief.
No, you're right. It was. And like, if you look at the odds right now, the DraftKings has up, for instance, they have Cam Newton minus 400 to start week one. I think those odds are right. If I were setting the odds, I'd have Cam Newton as a heavy favorite. But I do think that there are scenarios where Stidham is the starter. I will say this, though. When I made that bet, maybe I wasn't read up enough on what New England's offense is in comparison to what Newton ran in Carolina, the Earhart Perkins system. It's very similar. And even though it might be more detail-oriented and there might be less creativity to it, at least when Tom Brady ran it, I do believe now reading more on it and what the situation itself, that Josh McDaniels and the Patriots will basically give Newton freedom. Almost, I read a story about Newton in his rookie season, and if you remember, that was the lockout. That was the year where the NFL lost a lot of the offseason because of the lockout. And Newton coming in as a rookie, Ron Rivera, and this is one of the things that I've read on Rivera that makes me have the utmost respect for him as a head coach, because I love adaptability in a head coach. Mm-hmm. And this was that for Ron Rivera, is that he knew that Newton coming in from Auburn, when in college, he ran a completely different type of offense.
Sure.
Like, it was centered around him, the athlete, not necessarily the offense itself. Rivera knew that coming into that year, him as a rookie, no offseason, that Cam was not going to be able to pick up the offense he wanted to run enough to where he felt comfortable starting him right away, but he wanted him to start right away.
Right.
So what he did was he called Auburn's coach at the time, I think Gus Malzahn, I think maybe was the coach, or maybe
the first one, not the whoever. The
I
coach
always
is
get
right
the
now.
Auburn coaches confused. I don't, whoever the Auburn coach was at that time, Rivera called him and said, "Hey, do you can you shoot me over like 25 of Newton's best plays from college?" And he basically took a piece, a chunk of Auburn's playbook,
right,
and he put it into Carolina's offensive playbook. And Newton was obviously very comfortable as a rookie because he had a phenomenal rookie season. And basically, a lot of that's been implemented into his career in the offenses he ran in Carolina. I would believe, even though this is a different type of scenario, but still it's, hey, you're missing a portion of the offseason because of COVID, and we still have questions about training camp. We already know from the news yesterday they've lost two preseason games.
Right.
That any argument that I would try to make a week ago that Newton might not start week one because, oh, he's got to pick up the playbook, he's got to learn the offense. One, it seems like he already knows this style of offense, and two, I think Belichick and McDaniels are, of course, adaptable enough coaches where they're going to tailor their offense to some extent to what Cam Newton can do best, because he is the best quarterback on that roster, and the best season...
It's not close, by the way.
And the best season New England can have is if Newton is their quarterback and healthy.
Well, that's my thing is, I think there's a misconception about players going to New England, because I think it really stems from wide receivers coming in, not getting really acclimated with the offense. And I think a lot of the time it had to do with like timing with Tom Brady. You know, you had Chad Ojocinco come in, Reggie Wayne was there for a couple months, Demaryius Thomas a year or two ago. But for me, like, yeah, I think the understanding, the consensus is like you go to New England, it's a complex system, it's an offense that you have to adapt to, but for me, the Patriots, I don't think they get enough credit for molding their scheme around their talent rather than vice versa. And it drives me nuts when coaches try to like make their players adjust to what they want rather than to mold around the player's strengths. And I think the Patriots do that way more than they're given credit for on both sides of the ball, on defense and on offense. That's why they take chances on like a Barkevious Mingo, who was a former first-round bust from Cleveland, an outside linebacker that the Browns asked to be like their do-it-all defensive player up front. And New England just said, okay, what is his strength? Like, what does he do best? We're just going to have him do that and utilize him in that way. Same thing with, like, Kyle Van Noy, too, a former second-round pick. I think they do that with quarterback, too. It's why with Josh McDaniels, you know, Matt Castle was able to go 11-5 with the Patriots in 2009. It's why Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady was suspended, could come in, and I think he went undefeated as a starter that year.
Yep.
If not, he only lost one game. And then even, like...
No, Brissett lost the game.
Garoppolo was 2-0, 3-0.
Yep.
And then Jacoby Brissett even comes in, and you know he plays a pretty decent product of football. So I think Newton's going into a system where he has an offensive coordinator that gets the most out of his quarterbacks. And this is also an offensive coordinator, remember, that drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. This is not a guy that is foreign to the concept of utilizing a quarterback's mobile abilities. And he clearly knew Tim Tebow was a long ways away as a passer. So for me, I really like the fit with Newton in New England. I think they're going to instantly, and because of all the factors you said, they're going to mold this offense around his strengths. And again, what his strengths are, though, is throwing the football deep and running. And with a shoulder injury and a Liz Frank injury to his ankle the past 2 years, that is where the question comes in. And I do agree with that. But like, I think just from a standpoint of fit, like, he's only had a Josh McDaniels type of offensive mind once in 2018 with Norv Turner. And when he was healthy that year, they were 6-2, and he was having, to me, the most accurate season as a passer from inside the pocket. So.
And I think where we're going to disagree on this, because I think to this point, like, we're on the same page.
Right.
We both believe that if healthy, Cam Newton is an enormous upgrade over Jarrett Stidham. Likely. We still don't completely know what Stidham is.
He has four passing attempts.
I know. I'm more
curious.
But
that's why I didn't understand in the first place the infatuation. Well, and it's not like this. I mean, he was a fourth-round pick out of – I know you liked him coming out of Auburn.
I did.
He does have a lot of raw physical abilities that, you know, teams like. But I think it was more so the Patriots just like, oh, he's a Patriots quarterback. He's going to become this next thing where it's like, I haven't seen anything from this guy.
I know. And I did like him a lot in Auburn. He actually reminded me a little bit of Josh Allen, where just big physical arm and accuracy was a little bit all over the place. But that was more so his final year at Auburn. His second to last year, which I think was his junior season, I thought he was really coming on as a strong NFL prospect. But I wouldn't tell you after the senior year or the last year he had at Auburn and then being drafted in the fourth round, I wouldn't tell you I was high on him. I would say I was maybe more curious than most on Stidham, and that I was actually looking forward to seeing what he had.
Did him being
in
a
New
Patriot
England.
Make it more interesting
oh,
for
yeah.
you?
Oh, yeah, because all the arguments you just made about like McDaniels and Belichick getting the most out of
well,
Brissett
it's why
when he
talking
played
about
and
that
Garoppolo.
Fifth, I saw the other day they're talking about their fifth-round rookie now.
Is it Etling?
Yeah, Danny they're like, Etling? Look out for him, too, so... I think that the Patriots do get a lot of credit in that area, at least.
They do, and that's why I was curious about Stidham, but I wasn't telling you for a second that they were going to win 10 games with him as their quarterback.
Right.
Like, maybe. It always could happen. Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick, right? Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. Mm-hmm. There are some examples of, hey, it's a wild card. You do never know. But there's still New England fans out there, by the way, that are like, oh, no, I still want to see what Stidham's got. I will tell you that once upon a time here in Buffalo, there was a similar type of situation where a man named Nathan Peterman was a fifth-round pick, and lots of people around here were like, oh, you never know, fifth-round pick, Tom Brady was a sixth. He might have what it takes to be a starting quarterback, and then he put on the field like the worst quarterback performances you have
followed
ever seen.
Followed by three of the other worst quarterback performances you've ever seen.
Right.
he got another chance.
Just not knowing the guy, not knowing what the guy's got is not a reason to put him on the field. So now we have something tangible to talk about with the Patriots. And now I think we have a real division conversation between the Bills and the Patriots. I think beforehand, you were having to reach a little bit, I think, to make an argument for any of the three teams, even New England. Because Stidham at quarterback, you had to reach a little bit. It's, all right, they got to be good enough on offense to be able to compete with the Bills. The defense also has to come back and be like number one in the league for that to happen. Miami, it was, well, all they need to hit on all these free agents. They need to be able to get over the fact that it's a brand new team, basically, with all
and
the new roster
personnel.
They're
very Brown-esque where they, I mean, most of their starters are like under the age of 30.
Right. Like there were huge question marks that they needed to get over right away in Miami. The Jets, you know, like they were good at the end of last season. They really were. Were they 6-2 in the final half of the season when
Darnold
returned?
Came back.
Sure. So, and they've got guys, but there's always that Adam Gase factor that holds you up a little bit. And also the fact they have a lot of holes on their team.
And the fact that he's throwing to Breshad Perriman.
Yeah, the receiving core is not good. I don't like the offensive line. The defense has got holes. So the Jets, you had to reach a little bit. The Dolphins, you had to reach a little bit. New England, you did. And now I think you don't have to reach. I think it is a relative coin flip between the Bills and the Patriots. And I think the biggest determining factors, obviously, because this is the National Football League, shocker, it's quarterback. Yeah. There are two big questions for me right now on who is winning the AFC East. And one of them, of course, is Josh Allen, which we have spent basically the whole offseason talking about so far, and we will continue, because Josh Allen is a polarizing player. I tend to try to land right in the middle on him. I think he's already a good quarterback, but is he franchise quarterback level to me? Not yet. Maybe that happens this year. If it does happen this year, and he takes a big step forward that a lot of fans want to see him take, I think the Bills are winning the division. With this roster, with this defense, with the added weapons, I'm not even sure if it matters what New England is. I think the Bills, if Allen becomes a franchise-level quarterback, how am I not getting to 11 or 12 wins?
Yeah.
New England, on the other hand, I don't want to say that their ceiling is capped for me, because I think that they could be a 12-win team also. But the other question in the AFC East does reside with Cam Newton. And even though I think me and you might differ a little bit on what he is as a player when he's healthy, in terms of like what level of player he is, I think you would maybe, would you have him like in the top 10 in the league if he's healthy?
Yeah, I think if he's healthy, he's a top 10 quarterback.
I don't think I'm too far off that. I definitely think we disagree on like top 10, but I would still put him in the top half of the league if he's healthy as a starter. It's somewhere between 10 and 15 maybe, like just below the Matt Ryans, the Matthew Staffords. He's not my favorite as a pocket passer. As a runner, I love him. I think he's one of the best runners, if not the most talented running quarterback of all time. But my big question with Newton, and I think the biggest question with the Patriots, is his health status. Because I've looked through the history of some of these running quarterbacks in the past 20 years, and you made the point to me about this the other day that I think is true, and that the large percentage of mobile quarterbacks in the league and their longevity are unanswered questions, because a lot of them are playing in the
league
right
now. They're all in their primes right now.
Right.
I mean,
so you only have a few guys to go on. You have Michael Vick, you have Donovan McNabb,
Randall
you have
Cunningham,
all Eagles, by the way.
Yeah.
Mark Brunell is a guy here. Cordell Stewart. Like
Steve Young, too.
Steve Young's
top five in all rushing categories.
Right. And Dante Culpepper, to me, was the biggest example of this.
Yeah.
These guys that in part have relied on their mobility in the past have had trouble making it as a starter into their mid and late 30s. That doesn't mean Cam Newton has to have hit that wall already because he's only 31. But I would be concerned if I'm New England, not with what he is as a player, if he's healthy. But I'm concerned that if he has to become a strict pocket passer because, hey, maybe the foot injury is lingering a little bit. Maybe it flares up some point in the season. Maybe the shoulder injury flares up a little bit. He's a big guy, yes, but he has taken big hits. He's taken more punishment than any quarterback in the league in the last decade.
Yeah, no, there's a stat since he came into the league in 2011, mm-hmm. he's been contacted more than any quarterback in the NFL.
So to me, it's only reasonable to wonder how much longer he can last playing the style he can. Well, and maybe you would still mm-hmm. think he's a starting quarterback if he can't play that same style, and I'm talking more about the rushing here. I would think he's still an upgrade over Stidham, but I'm not too thinking he's the best quarterback in the division if his rushing ability is at all limited.
Well, that's my thing is I agree with you that I think for Cam Newton to be a top 10 quarterback, for him to be what I think was an elite player for the majority of his career in Carolina, he needs to have that mobile ability. He needs to be able to not just that, but like throw the football down the field. His short and intermediate accuracy, while I was talking about how big of steps he took in that area in 2018, it was never his strength. Like, you weren't taking him, very similar to Josh Allen, you weren't taking him for his accuracy. It was for the elite rushing ability and the ability to pull off chunk plays with your arm and your legs. I agree there. If Cam Newton is strictly a pocket passer this year, while I think he can do damage in that area with New England's system, with the steps he took in 2018, I think he's more of an accurate passer than people give him credit for. However, he does need that mobility to a certain point, though. Like, for me, I don't think he has to get back to where he was physically in 2015 when he won MVP. If he can get back to where he was in 2018, where, I don't know, I mean, even for Michael Vick in his late 30s, Donovan McNabb even, mm-hmm. you know, they could still run the football a bit. Even Cunningham, when he went to Minnesota, like, it wasn't where he was in Philly, but, you know, when you mean
Cunningham?
Yeah, Randall Cunningham. Culpepper.
Yep.
No, sorry, yeah, Cunningham. Yeah. When he got to Minnesota, he wasn't where he was with Philly, but the mobility was maybe down by, like, you know, 25-30%, but then you add in Chris Carter and Randy Moss, and he could take mm-hmm. off. So for me, like,
I don't think Newton has Chris Carter and Randy
Moss. No, I agree with that. But I think the combination of McDaniels and the fact that Cam is only 31 and it's 2020, I for a player that thrives throwing the football down the field and running, a shoulder injury and an ankle injury that are serious, back-to-back years is a huge, serious thing. But I don't want to assume that when he comes back, like, he won't be able to run anymore. He won't be able to push the ball down the field anymore. Maybe in 1970, I'd say that if this was the situation, but it's 2020, and maybe if he was 37, but he's only 31 years old. He's had an entire year to recover from the ankle injury. He's had 2 years to recover from that shoulder surgery, yep. multiple shoulder surgeries. So for me, like, yeah, it's a big what if. I'm not denying that. I'm higher on the fact that I think he can bounce back. This is a player that, yes, he's been hit more than anybody as a quarterback since 2011, but he's also played in at least 14 games, 7 of his 8 years.
Yes. So, and I think New England is maybe somewhere in between us on this. I think that they would acknowledge that.
I think the money says that.
Yeah, the money definitely is representative of their hesitation with him and the health concerns. And I think that's added into the fact, by the way, that with COVID-19, it's tougher right now.
Well, they couldn't evaluate him hands-on. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Right, so that's a question mark even for them right now. And that's why there's only $550,000 guaranteed. When, by the way, Chase Daniels out here getting $10 million guaranteed.
Winston and Newton's contracts combined, even on a guaranteed level, I don't know if that's right, but their money, their floor.
It didn't make it to Chase Daniels.
It didn't come close to Chase Daniels.
Andy Dalton got $3 million guaranteed from the Dallas Cowboys.
There are some bad backups making a lot of money.
Yeah, Newton basically, and I kind of respect this out of Newton, that I wonder, well, maybe not, because Schefter reported that only Cleveland was the only other team that checked in on
him. And it didn't even go far.
So maybe he wouldn't have been able to get more money as a backup elsewhere. That's kind of where I wanted the Bills to step in and be like, hey, Newton, if Newton's only getting $550,000 guaranteed, and I put this poll up the other day, what's more of a threat to the Bills? Is it Newton on the Bills or is it Newton on the Patriots?
I thought that was interesting.
I think it's crazy to think that Newton on the Bills is more of a threat, even if he is this big personality and this big ego, and even if there would be some in the locker room that would think he should want to start. Josh Allen does not strike me as a guy that would get to him with. He seems like he's very strong mentally. And if this Bills locker room is as applauded as it is for how strong it is, I would like to think that they are the locker room in the league capable of of having a backup in here like that and being able to withstand it, because it gives you the best chance to win. If Newton is your backup, and knock on wood, you don't want this to happen, but if Josh Allen were to go down with an injury at some point this year, do you want Matt Barkley taking snaps? Because I'm struggling to get them into an 8-win team if that's the case.
I don't think the money,
though. If
Newton
is sitting there, I still have a strong argument that he's the quarterback.
They might be better.
Or they're a playoff team.
If Cam Newton's healthy, I think they would be better than what they have with Allen.
And
right
wonder,
now.
I wonder, what would have Newton done? What would Newton have done if the Bills had come to him a month ago and said, because the Bills have like as much cap room as anyone in the league. I think they still have like $23 million from this offseason. If they had gone to Newton and said, we'll give you $5 million guaranteed if you play both through some, like kind of what the Nick Foles
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Structure was way more guaranteed than New England's given you, but will give you incentives that if you have to play, you can reach upwards to like what a starter makes, like between 10 and 15 million. If they had gone to him with that offer, but him knowing I'm going to start the year as a backup, does he pick the Bills?
No.
Or does he go to New England on the minimum to start?
That's
and
the thing.
I want to believe Newton would go to New England.
I think
money-wise,
like the Bills wouldn't have had that opportunity to get him on such a cost-effective contract. And to me, I know there was a report that I think a month ago that he was like considering becoming a backup and taking a deal like that. But I don't think the Bills would have been the situation a month ago that if he were to rush that move, instead of waiting for the Patriots to decide that, hey, because this is the situation for him, the only one that's available for him to be like the unquestioned starter. A month ago, maybe if Chicago, instead of trading a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles, came to him and said, you know, we'll do that with the incentives that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. With Mitchell Trubisky there, I think instantly the players are going to gravitate to Cam. That's the thing is, he's almost too big of a star to be a backup for a team like that.
That's
that
why Chicago didn't do it.
But which is kind of revealing, though, that you think a quarterback's better than yours. He's too good to have on your team, which is showing, to me, all you need to know about who you have in-house. I think the Bills could handle that more because Allen is, to me, far better than Mitchell Trubisky, even though there have been comparisons made. And with the culture they've had, with the locker room, the strong locker room they have, and with how good that team is. But even so, I don't think it would have worked for Cam on his side. I don't think he would have wanted to make that move. And I think even for the Bills, like, you know, for Josh Allen, if they're going to truly give him that opportunity this year, what if he, and I get it from your perspective, like, I mean, the Bills roster is so talented. If Allen again goes like 6 weeks straight where he's throwing for 170 and a touchdown, but he's running for 60 and a touchdown too, but, you know, they're beating teams not by a lot, they're not beating the great teams,
they're winning 19-14.
You think basically, all right, man, like Cam Newton could do this, but at the same time, like for Allen to truly make that step we're talking about in year three, I mean, Cam Newton behind him would be, even if Allen could handle that, it's definitely there. Like, that's not something you just ignore.
Well, also, you would have been now taking him away from New England. You would have been forcing their hand to start Jarrett Stidham. Because here's
that's
the thing.
That's an interesting fact. Yeah, I didn't think about it that way.
And we got to get to a break, so we'll talk maybe more about this on the other side. But you would have been...
See, that's something the Patriots would have done, not
exactly.
The Bills.
This is what you do in fantasy.
Maybe you got to think like the Patriots.
Yeah, this is what you do in fantasy when you're playing someone that upcoming week and you add all the defenses that are really good on free agency so that they can't have them. That's what this would have been. Taking Newton away from New England. Because who was left? Dalton signed. Winston signed. Foles got traded. If Newton had been signed, name me a quarterback left on the market, unless we could. Kaepernick would take the rest of the show.
Does 40-year-old Josh McCown still want to play?
Like, right. Who is New England adding? if Cam Newton's not available, that they are suddenly going to get this massive upgrade at quarterback. We'll talk more about this on the other side, more on Newton, more on Josh Allen, and the current landscape of the AFC East. It, to me, has been completely changed in the past week, at least potentially changed, assuming Newton is healthy. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you're hanging on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. We'll have time for calls in the next segment. We're going to have John Ellis of One Panther Place coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get a more in-depth look at what Newton was the last time that he was healthy with the Carolina Panthers. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase, Two Bros Live here on WGR.
Worked at Josh McDaniels when he had a chance to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos. He traded up for Tim Tebow. He wants this type of skill set. And I'm not trying to slight Cam Newton by comparing him to Tim Tebow, because that's irresponsible. But I mean, stylistically, you think dual threat quarterback, physical type of running style, you know, that type of player. I mean, McDaniels wants that, and he's got that now in Cam. And so I think that you're going to see scheme evolution. But, you know, I don't think it's one of those deals where Cam Newton didn't come to Foxborough to run Tom Brady's offense. That won't be the case.
Joe Marino, the Draft Network, Locked On Bills podcast, on with Nate Geary yesterday. Newton, McDaniels, that offense, we've spent a lot of time on that. We're going to get the calls in just a second in the AFC East. Newton's rushing to me is such a big thing with him this year. I'm wondering, would you go over under 100 rushing attempts for Newton this year? And I will say, I'll give you this for context, only once in his career has he ever had less than 100 rush attempts in a season, not counting last year where he only played two games. He had 90 in 2016.
I think he has more. Yeah, all right. I think he surpasses 100 carries still. Again, I don't know if he's going to get to the same running ability that he had in his prime, but I'm still of the belief that he's not going to be this just statue now that can't move inside the pocket.
2017 was actually his best. I mean, I guess he's 28 years old then. Mm-hmm. That's still your prime. That was his best year rushing. It was his biggest volume year rushing. 139 attempts, 754 yards, and 6 touchdowns. That actually even eclipsed his totals in 2015, other than rushing touchdowns. He did have 10.
I mean, for me, like, you have to. Newton's, as you're saying, again, I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for, even inside the pocket. But for you to sign Cam Newton,
this also isn't a long-term investment.
Right. Yeah. So to me, you have to have him run the football. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And maybe health-wise, he just doesn't get there. But for this signing to work and for him to get to the ceiling that I think he can get to in 2020 as to why I buy the Patriots way more in the AFCs now than I didn't really buy when Brandon Bean was talking about it and everybody's still, you know, you give Bill Belichick a lot of credit, but he would have had to elevate a lot of holes on this roster this year. And for Cam, though, I think he'll help elevate that. But they have to run the football still, and I think it will be where he has over 100 attempts.
When they signed him, you know what? It wouldn't have changed too much, because I think this would have been very much the case if Stidham had been their quarterback too. But for like fantasy football purposes, my arrow has been up on Sony Michel all offseason until at least he had that knee injury. But that's basically because New England, like the third, fifth one, I don't know. He just had one.
I think Sony
New Michel England's going to run the football. That's my point here. Like, I don't think James White is getting 150 targets this year. Like, he would approach with
Brady. I don't buy, though. People think White's stock is going to plummet, though, because of Cam. If you look at 2018 and what Cam was doing those first 8 weeks of the season, he was targeting McCaffrey heavily.
But McCaffrey's the best running back in football.
Well, yeah, but James White's one of the best receiving running backs.
But why is he the best receiver? It's because Brady shoved the ball down his throat.
Yeah, maybe that's fair.
Newton, I don't think, will check the ball down unless it's for an elite-level talent. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just going to check the ball down to check the ball down. Brady would check the ball down just to check it down.
I guess we'll find out, because before McCaffrey, though, Newton didn't have anything close. I mean, Jonathan Stewart wasn't a receiving and running back. Cameron Artis Payne was the backup for like 100 years.
They never even used him. He was there for 10 years and like 10
carries.
Fozzie
Whitaker was there, too.
I bet Cameron Artis Payne's total carries was under the amount of years he was actually on that team.
He couldn't beat out Fozzie. It feels that way. He couldn't beat out Fozzie.
But what is Newton's go-to this year? Like, what style do they play? And I think you're right. It's going to be run first. But is he going to be checking the ball down to James White? Like, I don't know. His ability or what you would want to use him as is a quarterback that can stretch the field and throw the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is I don't have one guy on New England that I think can consistently stretch the field.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
Mohamed Sanu and Julian Edelman are their two most accomplished receivers. They're both slot receivers, ideally. I think Sanu is probably going to play outside just because Edelman's in the slot. But ideally, Sanu is in the middle.
I mean, you would hope N'Keal Harry, you drafted him in the
but
first round last year.
After his rookie year, that's a huge question mark.
For me, the personnel they have with Edelman, with James White, even with Mohamed Sanu, it sets them up to be very similar to what Norv Turner built with Carolina in 2018, who had, remember, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, McCaffrey. Those guys live underneath. You want them to get the ball in space, run after the catchability. But at the same time, even though the personnel is not great, that didn't really stop Cam before from pushing the ball down the field, even before he finally had good weapons in year 7 of his career with the Panthers. You know, he was throwing the football down the field to Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funches, Philly Brown, 1,000-year-old Jericho Cotchery. So, yeah, the personnel doesn't really have that quote-unquote deep threat. But for me, if Cam's shoulder injury is in the past and he can push the football down the field, I still think they're going to want to utilize that. Yes, the personnel is going to help him better short and intermediate, but as we're talking about with the running game, for them to fully get the most out of this investment and to maybe have this be a more than a one-year kind of thing, this project, he's also got to push the football down the field, because I think he's more accurate than people give him credit for. But Cam Newton, when he was elite, it was because he was dead accurate deep and he could run the football for at least 650 yards in his sleep.
But I wonder, like, will it be some version of like what Josh Allen was 2 years ago in 2018? Not as like a rookie, not accuracy-wise, but the Bills wanted, and Allen wanted especially, to stretch the ball down the field. But why were there so few plays 2 years ago? Allen was not the most accurate quarterback deep. Last year, he took a step back. But 2 years ago, like, what was the biggest reason? They had nobody that could beat a corner straight ahead.
Mm.
Like, nobody. Kelvin Benjamin was not outracing anybody in space.
But that's the thing, though. It didn't stop Cam before. I don't think it's
But
enough.
he had speed. Like, he had Ted Ginn.
Sure.
He had Steve Smith for the first 2 years of his career. He had DJ Moore for the last year that he was really good. Like, there have been guys that have interchangeably come in and out the door, even if they're not, you know, great. And maybe that is N'Keal Harry. But was N'Keal Harry's strength even coming into the NFL, like his vertical attacking threat? Like,
he's got it.
But
Arizona State used him a lot, like screen game, run after the, very similar to DJ Moore, actually. So
I wonder if they will.
But yeah, you're right, though. Their strength is not the ability to push the football
down the
field.
And then the question is, can Newton become efficient enough in the middle tier of the field and in the short passing game as well? Because I just wonder that even if he's back in terms of throwing the ball and pushing it down the field, my biggest question with New England, and maybe they go out and try to add to this, maybe they go try to find a veteran who could push the ball down the field or run the ball down the field. Do they have a guy that he can throw it to 30 yards down there?
Yeah, I mean, right now there isn't a guy that's a clear quote-unquote deep threat, but for me, again, I'm giving Cam more credit as to I think he'll be able to, and again, like, the ability to extend plays with his legs, he'll get to push the football down the field. And
yeah,
if they can get him back to where he was from an efficiency level in 2018, those first 8 weeks, I think they don't need it to be at the point of 2015 where, you know, Carolina's the number one scoring offense, because, you know, I think Cam's going to elevate the personnel around him, but I also think his coaches will too. I mean, he has one of the best offensive minds as his OC, and Bill Belichick is still, to me, the best defensive mind ever. And while his defense lost a lot of pieces, that secondary still, to me, is top two, top three in the league. I mean, they're going to keep them in football games. And if Cam can run and he's still that elite red zone threat, I think that's enough to where we have to buy the Patriots as the threat to the Bills in the AFC East. I didn't buy it with Stidham, but now with Cam, like, I buy it.
They are the threat.
I would be nervous.
The reason I would still slightly side with the Bills on who wins the division this year is how many position groups does New England really top the Bills at?
I was just, yeah.
Like, the secondary, if they do,
but that even
it's
that's
not
up for
by
a debate.
Much, because the Bills, we know, are super strong in that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I give them secondary by a smidgen, where else are the Patriots better than the Bills in terms of a position?
That's a good question.
Offense, I could tell you, there might not be a single one on offense. The Bills, I like the running back core better. The receiving core blows away the Patriots.
New England might have the advantage up front.
Maybe, but the Bills line was much better last year than it was the year before. So even that could be close. It could be quarterback.
If Cam's healthy, I think it is quarterback. But no, you're right.
If Cam's healthy and Allen plateaus, I think I agree with you. But if Allen does take this big step that everybody's talking about and Newton is healthy, maybe they're close then. Because I think Allen's best.
But remember Allen, what Cam was.
The best
was
version
healthy.
Of Josh Allen is Cam Newton's
but
best.
But that's
version.
The thing. We have to remember what Cam was healthy, though. This was an MVP like level player that could drag Ted Ginn as his wide receiver one to a 15-1 record. And again, that's not
but
giving
Allen
enough credit
doesn't have Ted
to his
Ginn.
Defense.
He's got Stephon Diggs, John Brown,
sure,
and Cole Beasley.
But Cam was
and that matters.
He had one of the best individual seasons. And it wasn't just 2015. Like the Panthers from 2013 to 2017, they made the playoffs 4 or 5 years. They had a bye week in 2013. They had a playoff win the following year. So
let me ask you this. Who throws for more yards this year, Allen or Newton?
I'll say Cam.
Who throws for more touchdowns?
I am much higher on Cam than I think he's an MVP
candidate. If you're saying Cam,
this year, so.
Who runs for more yards?
That's close.
The reason I will say Allen in these regards,
I think Allen has more rushing touchdowns. I'll give you that. I think Cam though might have him in the other areas.
Yeah,
but, and I'm banking on I'm the positive one here. Like it's a huge. I don't want to discount the injury questions because all of this could be gone instantly. Honestly, when he hits the field, but I'm feeling the fit with New England, and I think this is going to be one of those typical comeback stories where the dude's in the MVP conversation. That's where I'm at with it.
Let's take a call when we come back, and we'll continue on in this a little bit, and comparing more so the Patriots to the Bills for this year. I think we're kind of bypassing now Miami and the Jets. Maybe we'll talk about them a little bit later in terms of the division, but we'll see how we progress here. Stay on hold if you're there. We'll get to you right after the break. We got John Ellis from One Panthers Place coming up at 1 o'clock. Two Bros Live, Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. Welcome back. Two Bros Live, Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase, Cam Newton, the Bills, the AFC East, where it's all on the table. We're going to talk Jet with John Ellis, One Panthers Place, in a couple of minutes here. Let's roll through some phone calls, though, before we do that. Let's go to Caesar in California. Caesar, what's up, man? You're on WGR.
How's it going, guys?
Good, you?
All right, so I'm not worried about Cam Newton for a couple reasons. Number one, our head coach screamed against that offense for many years, so I know he knows the ins and outs of Newton, his plus and his downs, so I'm not worried about that. Another point that I'm going to make is he trash-talked Ed Oliver. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Ed Oliver never got a chance to take his aggression out on him. So I'm pretty sure Ed Oliver, he's going to remember that when they get on that field. And we're going to see him twice. So
yeah. Hey, Caesar, thanks for the call, man. This is two things that I've been waiting to hear, for people to call in. One, Sean McDermott knows Cam Newton, so we're going to know how to play him. And honestly, I'm not going to snicker at that. That's the type of call I would snicker at. But McDermott proved it against Brady.
But
like,
how long
he played Brady better.
That's more
anyone.
Of a focus. But how long does a player have to be in the league for
everybody to
know?
You know
what he does best. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like that's the thing that bothers me about when people talk about Lamar Jackson, like it's going to catch up to him. No, like when you're one of the most talented quarterbacks in football from a running and passing standpoint, it eventually just talent trumps everything else. So, yeah, does McDermott know Newton more than most head coaches? Obviously, but I don't think that like has a massive like advantage. Like, what do teams not know about Cam that McDermott does after 9 years?
Here's a question. Did teams ever figure out Michael Vick? Or was he just not in the league really anymore as a starter because he lost some athleticism?
He just kept getting injured.
Right.
Yeah.
No one ever figured it out.
I mean, what, 10 years into his career in 2010, he had his best season in Philadelphia, actually, not Atlanta. So I don't think that's a huge advantage, honestly.
Let's go to Steve in Buffalo. Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I was calling because I was surprised that they couldn't have gotten Cam Newton on their team, the Buffalo could, because at one time they were trying to model their whole team like the North Carolina Panthers, and that's one of the reasons they probably took Josh Allen, because he was a lot like Cam Newton, more so than any that guy's ever seen like that. And the other thing is that I think a good Cam Newton on a healthy day would probably beat out Josh Allen as the starting quarterback, maybe for about a year or two, and similar to what Rodgers was at Packers, he could really, that could really, really help make him.
Yeah. Steve, I will say this, not in this situation.
You can't go back saying, now. You don't go to
I'm
the point
I'm not saying
where...
Newton, if healthy, isn't a better quarterback than Josh Allen right now.
And I
that's
think he
if
is.
Healthy. But if he is, even if he is, not in this situation. Like, they don't make Cam Newton the starting quarterback because Allen is the franchise right now. And Allen is the guy that they will still preach has all of this upside. And I think that they would be hoping is at least as good of Newton, if not better, that he would have that capability. I don't necessarily think he has the capability to beat Cam Newton's best, but they might think he does.
If Cam was available, like, if this all happened next year and you had a similar season to what Allen had in year two, then I would be more kind of into the idea of like bringing in Cam Newton. And honestly, if Allen, if it's like 3 weeks in and he's still doing the same thing, like go to Cam now, because I think he's a better, like, again, Allen, you want Allen to get to what Cam was in his prime with the Panthers. But right now, again, I still think he did enough in year two where I'm still trying to, like, and you did everything you built to, like, Stephon Diggs now is your wide receiver one. There's no more excuses.
Yeah.
I'm still not at the level of I need to start looking for his replacement already.
We'll say this. If Allen's not their starting quarterback in 2021, I would bet on Cam Newton being the favorite.
I thought you said Aaron Rodgers the other day.
No, I want Aaron Rodgers, but I think Newton would be the favorite. We'll talk. We have plenty of time to talk more about that conversation if we want in the course of the rest of the show. But we got John Ellis, OnePantherPlace.com, coming up right after the break. Steve, thanks for the call. Two Bros Live, Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.